Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast, and happy Wednesday. It's hump day, which is so appropriate because there are, you know, few people in this world I'd like to hump more than I like to hump. Today's co-host, as you guys probably know if you follow us on Instagram, Jackie's very sick. She made it work yesterday. She cannot make it work today. She has 101 fever. So I have swapped one redhead for another redhead because we are a network that believes in redheads.
I love that about you guys.
And I'm so happy you're here, Shannon. Like, I'm devastated. My sister is sick, obviously, but like,
I'm upset too.
I'm obsessed. Hi.
Hi.
And the timing is perfect because we were talking about you yesterday on the podcast.
Love.
For those who don't know Shannon, like, are you okay? Shannon is the best. Shannon is reality star, influencer, queen, podcaster. And as of yesterday, her podcast, probably a podcast, joined our Toast News Network, which we're so excited about.
No, freaking out.
Freaking out. Thus freaking making out. Us the industry's leading podcast network for redheads.
Yeah, which I feel like people should talk about more.
I think they should talk about, I think you know what else people should talk about more is the fact that you are a natural redhead.
Oh yeah, I am. Well, you know what? I'm so ferociously passionate about my spray tans that I think that throws people off the scent.
Right.
And so they're always like, you're not, like, that's not your natural color of the red. I'm like, I've never dyed my hair ever.
That's so true. Because, you know, I would have assumed, like, maybe even before I met you, like, is she a real redhead? I would have said no.
Yeah.
What is your natural skin tone? Like, what's the color of your butt cheek? Like,
I bet my armpit looks like, but that tan always comes out my armpit.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're super like porcelain.
Yeah, no, it's like pale.
Oh, that's so interesting. My mom's never a redhead. Like, but you're never, oh wow.
But my dad is like a quarter Native American and like looks like a mahogany dresser.
Right.
And so tan.
You're not, you didn't get any of that gorgeous.
I didn't get the tan. I tan a little bit easier than most redheads, although I try to stay out of the sun because like skin cancer, but I don't freckle as much as most redheads.
You have a shit ton of freckles. Like, I hate to break it to you.
I do, but like, you know, some redheads are, they're bigger.
You have tiny little cute little frail ones.
Cute little freckles. Yeah, I don't know. I'm making all this up.
I'm so honored that you could join me. I know you're so busy because it's fashion week and you're literally like the most fashionable girl I know. I mean, look at my outfit today. I usually show up in dirty underwear and leggings, but I really pulled out all the stops for you because the last time you were here, I wore leggings and a hoodie and you wore like your prom dress and it wasn't right.
I did do that and I should have told you.
You should have.
I should have told you. I was just telling Claudia, I was like, I don't think I'm like participating in fashion week as much as I'm just like in New York during fashion week, right, which is also like fun. Love and fun. But yeah, I just like wearing pretty clothes. I just really do.
And you wear them so well. Like, if I wore the clothes like you wore them, like, I would wear stunning things too, you know?
Oh, well, if I could be so bold, I might unbutton this in a second.
Take your time. This is a totally free space, safe space.
Safe space. We're in the trust tree. They're so tight.
Yeah.
So eventually I think I might just.
So the last time you were here, things were different because now you have a man.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to know, like, what's it like? Like, he's an international man, so, like, you really can't spend, like, every day with him, which has its benefits, but also, obviously,
it's, you know what? I think I do long distance well. I've never done it before, but, like, it's not that bothers me as much because he's so busy, I'm so busy. He lives in London. But it's the fucking time difference that bugs me. Like, so much happens. So, like, he goes to sleep at, like, 10:30, 11, right? And, like, that is around 3 o'clock here.
Oh, so you're done for the day at 3 o'clock.
Well, it's just like so much happens from the hours of like 4 to 10 for me. Like all the best. Like I'm having a glass of wine. I'm unwinding. Yeah, yeah. I'm relaxing. Like I'm in a better mood. Like my work's done. Like so much happens and he's just like asleep.
Oh, you know what? That fucking sucks.
Yeah. And so that is like my only qualm.
The time difference. That's a pretty big one. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it makes me sad. The time difference makes me sad sometimes. I just want to like text him and he's like, you know, in REM sleep.
He's hit the REM cycle.
Yeah.
But he's coming here, right? To visit you for the first time?
Yes. So I've gone to London twice. I went on a family vacation with his family.
So it's like legit.
Legit.
Like, are you? Do you, like, you have a label? Like, he's your boyfriend?
Yeah, he's my boyfriend. Okay. Yeah, he asked me to be his boyfriend.
He asked you to be his boyfriend. That's
so
sweet.
He asked me to be his girlfriend. The second time I went to London, yeah,
aww,
after I met his parents and stuff. But yeah, so I've gone to Europe 3 times this year, and then he's coming here in like a week and a half. We're gonna do New York, and then I split time in Nashville, so mm-hmm. we'll do a little bit in Nashville, and then I'm taking him to the deep south, baby.
He's gonna meet your parents?
He's gonna meet my parents in South Carolina, yeah. So we're gonna do like a little bit in Charleston, a little bit in Lake Murray, where I'm from in South Carolina, so.
How many boyfriends have you brought home to your parents?
I'm a relationship girly pop.
Yeah.
I just am. I was in these streets for a while, but like I would never introduce my parents to someone who wasn't like my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, we've had the discussion, you're my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So I guess every true boyfriend, which I've had maybe like 5 in my life, have met my parents.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's appropriate.
Yeah. But I would never just like introduce them to someone that I was like fucking.
No, of course not. Especially like taking the trip to South Carolina. It's a long journey.
Sick.
So what do you have planned for him in New York?
So here's the thing, and like I'm going to need maybe like New York Toasters / Claudia, because I keep annoying her, to help me out with this, because like I think he thinks I'm more of a New Yorker than I am.
Right.
Like I moved here in January and I split time not well. Like I'm always like doing a million things.
You're never here.
I feel like I'm never fucking here. So like he's like, well, I can't wait to see what we do. And I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to figure it the fuck out. Like, I don't know. During the day is what I'm struggling with. Like dinners at night are easy to plan.
Drinks.
During the day, I don't want to be like, so,
yeah, like, are you going to go to Empire State Building? Like,
no. So, like, when I went to London, he was like, so, do you, like, want to see Big Ben? And I was like, no.
Yeah, right. No. Right. It's a clock.
So, like, we drove by it. Like, he was, like, pointed to Buckingham Palace. And I was like, cool. I don't need
cool.
I don't need to take a tour.
No, no. Because like, you're not going to see the Queen.
No. So, I was just like, well.
Well, not anymore. Yeah. But, like, when you went.
All right. Rip. Yeah. Rip. So, yeah, I'm not going to, like, take him to that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to take him on a ferry to go see the Statue of Liberty. But I do think I want to take him on, like, maybe do a picnic in Central Park. Just sounds cute.
Shopping, sounds, obviously.
Yeah, like, shopping would be fun. Little lunches. But like,
maybe if there's, like, a concert, that's, like, a fun thing.
Oh, taking him to a hockey game. Because
perfect.
They don't do ice hockey in Europe. So I fucking spent a mortgage on glass seats to try to impress him.
Oh, good for you.
I always, you know, I'm always doing the most, trying to impress people. It's really a burden.
No, hello, have we met? Like same.
So no, me getting front row seats to your show.
Literally, Shannon's like, I'm gonna come to the show. I'm like, great, just let me know how many tickets you need. Then she sends me a screenshot. She bought first row tickets.
Loved it. Felt so important. And the other people you invited were like, why did she put you in the front row?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, when people I'm like, my friends and family, they're like, can we get tickets? I'm like, yeah. The thing is, I never know where their seats are.
Yeah.
They're, it's like a venue thing. It's like venue comps,
obviously.
So when everyone saw Shannon in the front row, and like literally like my
and
family yeah, my family's like in the 11th row. They're like, this is fucking bullshit.
What the fuck?
She paid for them.
I did. But okay, so yeah, so we're doing that and that'll be fun. But I don't know if there's something that you can think of randomly or anyone listening can think of that they're like,
yeah, send ideas. It's really hard to plan things that like aren't touristy and like cliche.
Well, even in Nashville, and I've lived in Nashville for 8 years, I'm like, oh, what do we fucking do again? Like, I don't, because once you live somewhere, you get in your routine, you get in your habits. You're not like every day
in
Nashville.
Honky tonkin?
I had definitely taken his ass honky tonk.
Oh my God. Like the way I've never been happier than I am when I go honky tonking.
It is euphoric.
It's euphoric. Some of like the happiest moments of my life are like at Legends and like dueling pianos. Like,
everyone is just boot scooting boogieing. Everyone, no one feels silly.
No.
Everyone just like
on
loving
the same
life.
Page.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's like my biggest issue with James. Like our relationship is really, really wonderful right now, but something that I could see just like absolutely tearing it apart is his taste in music.
I knew you were gonna say that. He doesn't fuck with country.
He doesn't fuck with country, but what's worse, which I can deal with that, right? Like, it's fine. Like, not
it's
everyone's
not, but
a
okay.
country. Not everyone's a country person.
Bumpkin.
However, not everyone's a country bumpkin. I call myself a country mouse, but.
You are.
Like, I can't get behind someone that's obsessed with house music.
I totally agree.
I don't know
agree.
If it's like a Europe thing, but
it's
like,
a Europe thing.
It's so, it's the worst music you could ever listen to in your whole life. It's like, if it's like, and like the fact that he doesn't think it's the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's no lyrics, so
no
I can't
lyrics,
sing along.
Shannon, you're speaking my language.
I just don't get it. And he keeps like really, truly being like, oh babe, like, you'll see, you listen to this one and then you'll, it'll make you fall in love with house music. I'm like, okay. And then I listen to it and I'm like, I'm honest with him. I'm like, it's not good.
Shannon, you are literally reading my mind.
It's not good.
There's a special place in hell for people who like love music with no lyrics.
It's just not a vibe.
And you're right. I guess that compared to like disliking country music, like you can teach someone to like country music,
yeah.
But it's definitely a European thing.
It's bad. When I went to Ibiza, Ibiza. When I went there, I was like bored at the clubs because like I was just like losing interest because I just like don't want to like just.
You need to latch onto a lyric.
Yeah, I just can't. Not a vibe.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
That might be the end. No, I'm telling you.
No, it could be. If you're listening to this, I'm so supportive. You probably will listen to this.
Oh,
sorry,
that's
your music
sweet.
Sucks, babe.
When you like do a podcast or something, like do you send it to him? Like, I was talking about you on this podcast, minute 35.
Well, the podcast I just launched yesterday with the Morning Toast. that one was like about my trip to Portugal and like my trips with him. So he definitely listened to that one. But like, okay, so when we first met, there was a lot, like I said, I was in these streets. So when we first met, I remember he was like, oh, I want to listen to your podcast. And I was like,
no.
Because it was like a story about like this guy that I met, this like Dutch guy I met in a bar in New York City.
Right,
oh,
right.
You were there that night.
Oh, of course. Your stories from the next morning.
Yes.
We went to Acme, right?
It was at Acme. Like, yeah. Who meets a guy at Acme? I don't know. That was a feat in itself.
Yeah.
Because it's a like black hole. It's like a dungeon.
It's a dark, dark place.
But it's literally dark. Like,
oh, it's literally dark. Like, good luck finding the door.
But yeah, no, this guy like, you know, stayed the night over at my apartment and like wouldn't leave. And it was like really hilarious. And it was like a funny story to just talk about like this one night stand. And James was like, I've listened to your podcast. And I was actually on a flight. And so I didn't get it, the text message, until I landed. And I got it. That was like, I'm listening to, it was called The Bedless Dutchman. Because he wouldn't leave.
Because I had a theory that he might have been
homeless
because he was like living at your apartment all morning, not wanting to leave. And like most guys like don't even spend the night.
I know. And I was like, you don't have to stay. And he's like, no, your bed is so comfortable. And then like, he literally wouldn't leave the next day. It was like really uncomfortable.
That's literally horrible.
But however, whenever I saw which one he listened to, I was like, oh no. Because like at that time, the podcasts that were out were just like a lot of like, you know,
single life
sexcapades, mm-hmm. and like, you know, very like Sex in the City vibes. And now they're just different because I don't know, you like my
You're
life
different.
Is ever evolving, you
yeah.
know? And so, yeah, I was like, oh, you listened to that one. And he did. He was like, yeah, might not should have been the one I listened to. And I was like,
can I say, you just made me realize, cause I forgot about that night with the Bedless Dutchman, how grateful I am to James. Because obviously I'm happy for you, whatever.
Now I stay.
Yes, okay. So like when you were like on your single girl shit, like I would never get in the way of that, but like I'm a married bitch and like we can only go so far together.
Yeah, yeah.
So like when we got to Acme after we had been, oh, we were at Margaret's birthday party.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun. And there was like no one really for you to like, you know, meet or flirt with at Margaret's birthday party. So like I had your full attention. And then we get to Acme where there's just like these young hot guys. And I'm like, obviously Shannon's a young hot girl.
She's gone.
To go and prosper. But what about me? You know, what about my feelings?
And that is something I should have taken into account.
Yeah. And like, I didn't see you for the rest of the night, like, because you were like doing things that you should be doing. But like, it still hurt.
No, it's
and
hurtful.
And now like you have to behave just like I do, and we can behave together. I mean, it's so much fun the last time we went out.
The most fun is that we don't behave together,
right.
And that we just go wild and crazy, and we love it. But like, what's great is I do just want to just like scream, sing lyrics to every song until Acme physically removes us from the building.
Right, so like when James comes, like I don't think he's gonna like Acme because they play songs that we know all the words to, and he's gonna be like, where are the beats, bruv, where are the beats?
I'm forcing him.
Yeah.
Oh, he told me what a bruv is. He's like, not a bruv. A bruv is like
What is a bruv, like culturally?
Like someone who's just like, I'm trying to explain like what we would call it. Like it's someone that's like, yeah, like in America, they'd be like, sup, bro? Like, yeah, dude,
like
it was
douchey.
So cool. Smashing this girl. Yeah, like
douchey.
A fuck boy.
Got it. Okay,
yeah.
Bruv.
And like a bruv is someone that's like, mate, yeah, it's like sick bruv.
Does
like,
he
bruv.
Call it the telly?
Like the telephone?
Television.
Oh, I think I have heard him say that before.
Because while we are two English-speaking countries, there are vast cultural differences.
When I have him on my podcast, I am going to make a list. He said he did not realize how many things there were. So, like, I'm not like a, like, sorry if you guys are upset with me for this, but I'm not a Love Island girly pop. So that's okay. I feel like that really opened and broadened America's horizon to how many different words they have, like snogging and yeah. like all that stuff.
Crikey.
Yeah, like all that shit, right? Like blimey. Like his friend actually says blimey.
Blimey.
Like blimey. I'm like, what? I mean, it blimey. Literally sounds like a fucking, like made up.
Yeah,
but
no.
Yeah, he'll say stuff like in passing and I'll be like, what does that mean? And he's like, oh, and sometimes he doesn't know how to explain it because everyone just knows what it means. And sometimes he'll use what he had, this word Bosch. For us, it means like boom, like mic drop. And he's like, Bosch. And so I asked him to explain what it meant. And he used another English word to explain what it meant that I didn't know.
That's helpful, James.
I was like, James, you have got to like break this down better.
Honestly, I just feel like if I were to like immerse myself in British culture, I'd be immersing myself in Moira Rose culture, you know?
Oh, yeah. But there's a stark difference because the accent I use for him, him and his family laugh really hard because they're like, that's not what we sound like. Because the accent I use, I'm like, oh, darling, like, how are you from over here?
That's like the queen.
Yeah. And he's like, no one talks like that. That isn't like the most posh, like posh, like overly, he's like obnoxiously posh, but then like, oh, Binky, oh, darling. Like, he's like, we don't talk like that. And I'm like, okay, that's fair.
Well, you want to hear the craziest thing?
Yeah.
I've never been to London.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
It's a lot like New York, I think.
I know. So it's like a place I really want to go. And me and Margo were actually, and now I'm like going to invite you because it's going to be way more fun. Me and Margo were talking about how, you know, Luke Combs is doing a world tour and he is doing a show in London next year.
He is?
And I think that we should go like have a girls week in London. We could podcast from London. They have podcast studios in London, right?
Oh, yeah.
James can help us.
I think they're like nicer than theirs.
No, for sure. And like, I think we should go.
We should. I'm so down.
Okay, good. Ooh. And then we'll make James go and like we'll make him a country music girly.
We're gonna make him one.
So Shannon is here to talk about her boyfriend, but she's also here to do the show with me. It's yes. Wednesday, which means of course we have the Fast Five stories, you know, some mindless news about what's going on in social media and the celebrity world.
Love.
And now I'm just like doing the show, like imagining like James watching. Like, what is James gonna think of me?
What are you thinking, babe? I just unbutton my pants. He's like, blimey.
Blimey, Shannon, put your knickers on.
Yeah, they call them trousers.
Oh, what do they call undies? Knickers, right?
Oh, knickers. I've never heard them say knickers.
Yeah, I think that's like an old school thing.
Yeah, that's like,
don't get your knickers in a twist.
Don't get your knickers in a twist.
Every time I do like an English accent, like it turns Russian. Like, and then we also have Dear Toasters, and I feel like Shannon probably gives really good advice.
Ooh, I actually do.
So let's dive in to the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. And today's episode is brought to you by Visa. Do you ever dream of starting something game-changing? Then Visa can help make it happen. Whether it's creating and selling your own customized sneakers for cats, transforming your dorm room into a plushy pop shop, or finally going mainstream with your streaming side hustle. Or, I don't know, maybe it's starting like the world's most famous podcast network for redheads. Maybe that's the great idea.
Maybe that's it.
So whatever you're bold enough to try, Visa has the power to help bring your game-changing ideas to life. Visa. Anyone can change the game. Today's episode is also brought to you by Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch uses the best 100% organic cotton threads on earth for a superior softness and a better night's sleep. Their sheets aren't just buttery, breathable, and impossibly soft, but they get softer with every wash. So as you guys know, this is a Boll & Branch house. Jackie is a Boll & Branch house. We both have the signature hemmed collection that comes in all different sizes for beds, different colors. I have them in white for a king size bed. You will immediately feel the difference of their iconic signature sheets. They're 100% free from toxins, which means no pesticides, no formaldehyde or other harsh chemicals. And their sheets feed the deepest mattress, and they are labeled with a top and bottom tag, which makes it really easy to change your sheets.
That is nice.
I am like constantly waking up before my Boll & Branch sheets with like my sheets off. Like it's the most annoying thing. I'm just like a really kind of chaotic sleeper. And Boll & Branch is there for me because they know I'm a thick girly. And they give you a 30-night risk-free trial with free shipping and returns on all orders. You can get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use promo code TOAST at BollandBranch.com. That's B-O-L-L-A-N-D branch.com. Promo code TOAST. Okay.
I changed my sheets last night. Ugh, it's horrific.
Were you sweating?
It's just yeah, like a hog.
Yeah, it's really rough.
Like just... Oh, and you know what I decided to do, which I posted this on my Instagram story. Like, I can not really disclose how often I change my duvet because I'm not willing for the backlash.
Right.
But I decided that enough was enough. Like,
it was time.
It was time to wash my duvet cover. And that is something that I'm willing to admit that I just really think I should hire someone to do next time.
Right. So I used to like wash my own sheets, and it was really a toss up. It could be once a month or once a year. Like, it was beyond.
Sheets?
Yeah. All of it. Like, the whole thing. Not even just the duvet. The whole thing.
I wash my sheets pretty often. No. But I spray tan really often. So that's... and I'm a sweaty sleeper.
When I was, like, in charge of my own life, that's what I used to do. And then about 3 years ago, I was like, you know what? Housekeeper.
Enough's enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I go once a week.
I can't justify having a housekeeper in my tiny little apartment in New York. But my house in Nashville, I feel lucky enough that I can, like, afford.
That's actually, like, a really fair statement.
Yeah.
But your apartment's just lovely. So small. I've never been.
Come.
I heard your bed is really comfortable from the Bedless Dutchman.
The bed is very comfortable. Oh, I just realized too, I'm wearing cowboy boots.
You're also wearing Louboutins, like, always one upping me on my show. Like, my shoes are from Revolve. I want to kill you.
Fun fact, Dolly Parton has these exact ones.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. We really should go to, like, a Dolly show.
I would, like, please.
No, yesterday, like, we were texting a lot. I was like, let me plan something fun for me and Shannon. So
I'll plan something.
I was, like, looking online for country concerts in New York, but, like, there really aren't any.
None? Even this week?
No, not this week. That's what I was looking for. Okay. I know. Except this week I'm kind of busy because I'm going to Portland and Seattle this weekend. Tickets available at girlwithnojob.com/tour. My one and only leg in the Pacific Northwest. I can't wait to see you there. Mm. All right. First story of the day is that Leonardo DiCaprio and Gigi Hadid are dating. They're moving to the next level, but still taking it slow, according to Page Six. So Gigi and Leo have moved their romance into a more intimate phase, but sources close to the pair say they're, quote, taking it slow. Sources have been telling us for months that the model, 27, and the superstar actor, 47, have been getting close while hanging in the same group of friends, but now we hear that they've started going out on dates just as a twosome. They've, quote, mostly been hanging out in groups and a solo a handful of times. The source says that DiCaprio is not someone who is in and out of relationships. He doesn't jump around hooking up, but they are taking it slow. So these were, like, rumored. Everyone heard it on Dumois. And now it's, like, pretty much
confirmed.
Like, I think last night they both went to the same Fashion Week event. Not together, but they were both photographed leaving and coming in.
I just, like, I was just telling you, I'm still finding myself laughing. I get over stuff really quick. Like, I'm like, ugh, enough. Like, I remember the Will Smith slap. I think we talked
about it. Yeah, we did talk about it.
And I was just like, I'm not laughing at it anymore. The jokes are done. Right. It's over. I'm over it. Blah, blah, blah. Every single time I see a new joke surface, a new meme surface about him only dating 25, like, people under 25, like, they still make me giggle. So this is good that she's 27.
By the way, I completely agree. Like, when the internet becomes obsessed with one thing, it gets, like, annoying and it's not funny anymore and it's, like, fatigued.
Yeah.
This I find so crazy. I don't know why I thought Gigi Hadid was so much older than 27. Perhaps it's because she has a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And she's accomplished a lot. And we've known her for, like, she got famous on Housewives when she was, like, 18.
True. So you would think she was older. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I actually always think that the Jenners
are younger or older. Yeah. No, they're in their 40s.
No.
Oh, Kylie and Kendall. Yeah. Kendall is what? Like, 26?
But to be fair, I always think the Kardashians are going to. I always forget Kim's almost 40 or is 40.
Is 40. Kourtney is in her 40s. And I think Khloe's about to turn 40.
Yeah. So I don't know. You're right. The Hadid seem like older.
And, like, there's a weird thing with celebrities. Like, when you find out that two celebrities are the same age, like, I think I read somewhere once that, like, Adele and Taylor Swift are the same age.
No.
Which just is really shocking. And I think that Cardi B is also the same age as them as well.
I saw that Taylor Swift and Cardi B are the same age, and I was, like, laughing.
Let me just Google.
Because that is just a funny one. Because your brain immediately compares the two people, not their ages. And you're like, how could that be? Like,
yeah, Adele is 34. Adele is 34 and Taylor Swift is 32. And Cardi B is 29. Oh, Cardi B's young. Well, Cardi B's younger than Taylor Swift and Adele.
That maybe is what's funny.
Yeah, no, it's just, like, I guess with celebrities, maybe you remember them, like, as, like, the person they were when they were, like, peak fame. I don't know what it
maybe.
Is.
Maybe. Yeah.
But it's just weird.
It is weird.
I'm happy that, obviously, Leo's dating someone who's over 25, but she's 27, so it's, like, really not that big of a difference.
But you were saying she's a mom, so that's, like, a shift.
That's an upgrade for him.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like, I know Leonardo DiCaprio is obviously, like, the biggest superstar movie, handsome, whatever. Yeah. But I kind of feel like he's, like, kind of getting, like, run down. Like,
I think he looks road hard and hung up wet.
Yeah,
like, I'm not, like, of course he's still good looking. And of course he was a heart motherfucking throb.
Right.
But, like, I'm just, like, not, I think that the allure is there because he's fucking Leonardo DiCaprio, no, obviously. But, like,
I know. And it used to be that, like, he was dating these, like, not famous girls who were so beautiful. but it like made sense because he was like kind of dating beneath his A-list star, but they were so much younger. So it was, it leveled out. Like,
right.
Well, they're more attractive because they're younger. And now it's like, I don't really feel like that's going to be able to apply much longer because he's like, not to be so mean, but like he's getting ugly.
He's not. But you know who's also like just straight up aging, which we should not talk like so.
No, but you know,
like,
this is how people talk about women aging. It is. So you know what? Yeah, Leo's getting ugly.
Leo is getting uglier. And yeah. Here's the thing: I also think Brad Pitt is, but like,
I don't.
One would be like, you don't. No. He looks so greasy, and but his maybe, hair's getting wispy.
Maybe it's like, because like I have like actual love in my heart for him. Like, you know, when you love someone, you think they're beautiful always.
Yeah.
Like you love your child, but like you don't realize like your baby's ugly, you know?
Oh, I'm totally kidding. I mean, that's a thing for sure. I really feel that way about Matthew McConaughey, but he's 100%. He's aging well.
Yeah, no, by the way, that's just like straight facts.
But that's just also just like a country man.
It's so true.
And so like country men have grit, and yeah. That's why they look sexy longer and older.
That's so true.
Brad Pitt, you're just giving greasy Hollywood old to me, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like, you know, if I took out, like, from a total unbiased third-party perspective, like, Brad Pitt, like, is looking worse for the wear.
Yeah.
But I still think he's, like, extremely handsome.
He is.
Like, and so cute.
But not Leo.
No, I'm just, like, I'm getting over him.
Yeah, Leo sometimes looks like he has jaundice.
I just feel like it hasn't been the same between me and Leo ever since he saw me in a bathing suit. You know what I mean? I took a boat trip with Leo once.
Where?
In Mexico.
I can't tell if you're being...
I'm being dead serious. You obviously didn't read my book because it was in there.
Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, it just like, it changed things between us.
Yeah.
And then like we jumped off the boat and they were like, let's swim to the beach. And like, you know, depth perception is off when you're on a boat. Like you think the coast is like the beach is right there.
Yes.
But it wasn't. And so like we were all kind of like dying. But like me specifically, because like Leo and like everyone there was like really in shape.
Swimming's hard.
No, it was horrible.
It's the only exercise that works every muscle in your body.
And one of the like staff members from the boat like got on a paddleboard and came and picked me up.
Don't tell anymore. I want to read the book.
He came and picked me up and left me on the beach. Like, and I literally was parked there like a beached whale. And like once we got to the beach, I was like, great, can we go back? But they're like, you guys want to like hike around? I'm like, what? No. So I just like pretty much sat there while everyone like hiked. And that's really kind of where like my relationships like ended with him.
That what's about like the worst part about me is I am such a follower sometimes that like I would have been like, I would have just been like I would have looked dumber.
No, by the way, so would I for anything like except for hiking. Like if he had said like, let's do ashwagandha, I would have been like, okay, I mean, I'll probably die. But like Leo said, so yeah, I'm a follower loser too. But like my body is limited. In some ways,
I would have just looked haggard walking up the hill and would have been like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah, no, we were like getting out of the ocean, like sopping wet. Like, I looked like a raisin. Like, it was just not.
I've been there where I thought the swim was closer than it was. And it's just, it never is.
It never is.
It never is.
And the thing about me is, like, I actually love to swim. Like, I'm not a water sign, but like I'm a swimmer.
I like to frolic in the water a lot. I grew up on a lake, so I just like really enjoy being in the water, but I just like existing in the water. My sister was always the bitch that was like
tanning.
No, she'd be like, let's race to the buoy. And I was like, no, I just want to like jump off the boat and swim.
Yeah, no,
and
I might have been like a race to the buoy girl too. But like when you go on vacation, like are you the girl who like doesn't like get her hair wet?
No. Everyone would assume that about me, and everyone is always shocked that I'm like the first one to jump in. The first one to like get underwater.
Can we go on vacation together?
Yes.
Yeah, because like
I was gonna ask you if I could come to Turks and Caicos when you guys were there.
Oh my god, I wish you had asked.
I was gonna be like, if I got a flight, is there like room for me to sleep?
Yes. Oh my god, I wish you had asked.
I thought to myself, you just can't ask people that kind of stuff.
Why not? Literally, why not?
But I just thought that you guys are just like jumping in the water. That's just how I like to enjoy vacation. And I actually almost all my friends. Obviously, if I go on like a Revolve trip, usually the girly pops aren't like popping in the water immediately. But like for me personally, I took a picture and then I got the fuck in the water.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna get in the water. Mm-hmm. I love to swim.
I want to jump off stuff. I want to.
Me too.
I really like.
I'm planning
that.
A trip.
Okay,
like ASAP.
I'll come to Portland. Do they have water there?
I don't know. And I don't want to waste our trip on Portland.
Portland.
I can't talk today. Like I want to go to like the Caribbean with you.
Okay.
Okay. Next up is some Britney Spears controversy because apparently she was on Instagram yesterday calling everybody fat. Britney Spears responded to backlash after seemingly body shaming Christina Aguilera and her backup dancers. Basically, she posted an Instagram like graphic that said, you know, I've always, you know, the best way to look skinny is by standing next to someone fat. And then in the caption, she was like, Yeah, like if I ever stood next to Christina Aguilera's backup dancers, I would have looked like it was so weird. And then she issued an apology. She said, by no means was I being critical of Christina's beautiful body. It is what it is. Yeah, no, it's like not an apology. I flew to see her show once, and the main thing I noticed was the difference of our people on stage. By no means did I even mention Christina. Look at my post. I was inspired by her show, and she's a beautiful woman of power. Thank you, @XTina, for inspiring me. She went on to clarify that she didn't mean to be critical of anybody. Rather, she saw her original post as a projection of the insecurities I deal with all the time as a result of how my parents and the media have treated me. And I just want to say, like, this is something I noticed when Britney was free and then she was very active on social media. She posted some Jeffree Star cosmetics and people were commenting. So she deleted it and apologized for supporting Jeffree Star. Okay. And I just really need people to stop expecting Britney Spears to, like, be, like, completely caught up on all things woke and political correctness. Because, like, are you seeing what's going on? Like, she's free, but she's not like 100% well yet.
Her mind is still in a cage. And right. Who knows what she was allowed to access? I mean, I didn't do as deep of a deep dive on the Free Britney stuff as some people did. So you might know. Who knows what she was able to look at? Like, we have been growing with the times, evolving with the times, because we have a phone in front of our face with news.
Right.
People saying what you shouldn't say anymore. We're growing and learning as a society.
Right.
Who knows if she was able to do that?
She was on fucking lithium. Like, leave her alone. Like, her brain is definitely not fully bounced back to, like, what it was before she was put on drugs. And, like, the way that, like, we're now canceling Britney, like, don't get me wrong, what she said, like, that was not cool. If anyone else said it, I'd be saying something different. But, like, can we stop having, like, normal expectations for Britney? Because she's not, this isn't a normal situation.
You said it before, too. You were like, you can't expect someone that's just not well to act well. That in itself is us being highly critical of someone that, like, we can't, it's not the same situation as us.
No, it's so, people are, like, this whole, like, call-out culture, like, they've gotten a little ahead of themselves. Like, Britney Spears is not fair game yet.
I agree.
Let her live.
When you were reading that, I was, like, appalled. But, like you said, I'm like, but it's Britney Spears. Like, she's...
She gets a pass.
She's not well.
She's not well, and I'm sorry, she gets a pass.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to find me caring. Like, normally when people are saying fatphobic things, like, yeah, I'm out here being, like, a spokesperson for my people. This time, I'm not coming for Britney. Like, she's been through enough. Like, she doesn't need to get dragged on Twitter now, okay?
Yeah.
Like, let the woman live. Speaking of women who are just living, Jennifer Lawrence is breaking down this season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, including, quote, evil Erica Jane.
I fucking love this.
So we all know Jennifer Lawrence is a famous Housewives franchise super fan, and the actor has proclaimed her love for the Bravo series several times and even appeared on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Well, she was at the Toronto International Film Festival for her film Causeway. She was chatting with Variety about her take on this most recent season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and particularly the housewife Erica Jane. As we all know, Jane has been the center of several controversies, including her husband Tom Girardi allegedly embezzling millions of dollars from victims of horrific accidents, yada yada yada. We all know. So here's what J-Law's take on the season is. My biggest problem with this season is that it's just been boring. And I think that Erica is evil. I would go as far as to say she needs a publicist ASAP. She also suggested that Erica Jane's fellow cast members had a duty to help the Chicago star realize how badly she is coming across. It was like comparing the situation to the famous episode of Real Housewives of New York, in which the cast allowed tipsy Dorinda Medley to film for hours with lipstick smeared across her face. That's actually a really good comparison. I didn't remember that. I do feel like the women of Beverly Hills are, like, doing their best to protect Erica, but she's just so fucking crazy and radioactive. Like, there's only so much you can help someone.
That is true. And I, like, was just thinking to myself, if any celebrity, like, massive superstar, like, said something horrible about me, I would just be devastated. But, like, let alone one that's just, like, so lovable
and real
and hilarious. Like, when she comes for you, like, J-Law, like, she, like, is so intelligent with her humor, much like Jackie O.
100%.
And it's like it almost cuts deeper because it's mean and funny, and you're like, fuck. And, like, if she called me evil, I would just be
die
so upset.
No, and the thing is, with being a Bravo celebrity, the cool thing is that there are so many mainstream A-list celebrities, Chrissy Teigen, Rihanna,
so cool,
are vocal about their love of the shows. They'll even call people out sometimes.
Yeah.
But they'll never call out negatively. They'll always be like, I love Tom Schwartz. That's what Rihanna posted.
Right.
And even if Rihanna was, like, hating Ariana Maddox, she never says it because it's like,
what's the point?
It's like mean. It's like,
she's like, I'm too famous for that.
It's an imbalance of power.
Yes.
But this is, like, the first time that a celebrity, like a mega A-lister, has, like, said something negative about a franchise and about a castmate.
I just remembered, because you just said that, when Rihanna was like obsessed with that trumpet, whatever, that scene of Tom
brushing his teeth, I thought it was.
He was brushing his teeth, he was doing something, it was like a mashup, and she was like, whoever the editors are of this show, like, I literally want to kiss you on the mouth, this is the funniest shit ever. And I was like,
that must have been so cool for Tom Schwartz.
So cool.
And so, like, there are a few moments like that, but there's never been a moment like this where you're getting dragged.
You know, Erica Jane, though, just like, I don't give a fuck. Who are you, J-Law? You were in diapers whenever I was doing. Literally. She's going to, like, name something she was doing, like, I don't know, blowing someone famous when J-Law was still in diapers.
That's true. Because she's, like, kind of off the deep end now. Like, I don't think she can be saved.
No.
Which is so sad. I did not expect Erica Jane to go from being, like, one of my favorite and just, like, franchise favorites. Chicago. You did? Mm-hmm. Was she good?
Yeah.
She's like talented. She was beautiful. She was in Vogue. Like, she had so much going for her. And obviously a scandal can take you down, but I think she could have recovered if she handled it like even one iota better than she handled it.
I would go as far as to say she needs a publicist ASAP.
ASAP. She needs a publicist. Jennifer Lawrence was being so funny. Looking for the right word. She's like, and I just think Erica's like, and really the only word to describe how she's acting is like evil.
Yeah.
Because she's been so heartless to her castmates, to the victims of her husband.
Yes.
Like, that's really the perfect word. And when she said it, I was like, yeah.
Pop off queen, I agree.
Pop off queen, I agree. I have two more stories for you, Shannon.
Okay.
I mean, might I just say you're absolutely killing it. And the two remaining stories are brought to you by Figs. Everyone has something that they look forward to in the fall. And if you're in healthcare, there's something extra exciting on the horizon, and that's the brand new colors and styles from Figs. If you haven't heard, Figs makes the comfiest scrubs around. They're engineered with the innovative technical comfort technology to be ridiculously soft and incredibly durable, so you're always ready to take on the day in style. Obviously, I do not work in healthcare, but I appreciate a comfortable set of clothing, and I do own many pairs of Figs because they're extremely breathable, extremely soft, and come in stunning design. So they're 100% awesome scrubs that are focused on design, function, and comfort. They have a soft proprietary four-way stretch. The fabric is moisture-wicking, anti-wrinkle, and anti-odor. They have up to 20 pockets on some of their styles, and they easily customize yours with text and icon embroidery. And if you don't know where to start, check out their new fall colors for a look that's 100% awesome all season long. Their super popular core scrubs never go out of style, and they are an easy way to mix and match. Figs believes that the awesome humans in healthcare deserve awesome scrubs to match. Head to wearfigs.com, use code TOAST to get 15% off your first order. That's WEARFIGS.com, promo code TOAST. All right. Okay. Some like kind of crazy, emotional, amazing news. Okay. Ryan Leonard, I'm literally having a stroke today. Ryan Reynolds undergoes a life-saving colonoscopy, and it was all caught on video.
Aren't all colonoscopies videoed?
Such a good point.
Are they sticking a camera in your colon?
And I'm super, super happy that it was like a positive test. But like, I just feel like this is one of those situations where like celebrities are getting too comfortable with like, Ryan Reynolds is like universally beloved, not by me, but by most people.
He's corny, but yeah.
I find him like annoying, and I feel like he's like a monster to be married to. But like for the most part, everyone loves him. Like every time he like farts, E! News is like, oh my God, you have to check out this fart. It's amazing. So now he's getting like a little too comfortable with that level of praise, because I just don't really feel like we need to know about like your colonoscopy and like the video. It's like a lot. Some things can be private.
A video that he shared of like the video of his colon, or was it him laying down getting a colonoscopy?
So he had a subtle polyp on his colon during his first colonoscopy, which he was broadcasting in order to destigmatize the procedure. That I understand.
Cool.
The Deadpool actor and his Wrexham soccer club co-chairman, oh my God, Rob... Okay, I didn't read the story, so like now I feel like I was being mean. Okay, sorry, I'm taking everything back already.
Oh no.
So the Deadpool actor and his co-star Rob McElhenney decided to partner up with Lead From Behind, a colon cancer. Oh my God, I feel like such a bitch. In my defense, Jackie picks the stories, and right before we started, I realized like I was supposed to pick the stories today, so I picked them without reading, and that was not cool. And I take back everything I said. Like,
I
still find Ryan Reynolds annoying, but this is nice. He partnered up with Lead From Behind, a colon cancer awareness organization, to encourage people, especially men, to get the procedure when the time comes.
Okay.
In a YouTube video uploaded to Reynolds' page on Tuesday, him and his co-star explained that they wanted to prove how the simple step can save lives. He said, "I would never normally have any medical procedure put on a camera and then shared." Okay, I'm like such a bitch. I'm so sorry.
Listen,
This is nice. Okay. And look at me. Like, I'm out here continuing the stigma that they are trying to destigmatize. I'm the problem. I'm sorry. I take it back. I didn't mean to offend. That's really nice.
That is, yeah, it's good. I was curious, though. I mean, if you just read the headline, this is the problem with clickbait. Sometimes it's just... confusing and not everyone's going to read the whole story.
What Ryan Reynolds said was that it's not every day that you can raise awareness about something that will definitely save lives. That's something motivation for me to let you in on a camera that's being shoved up my ass. So I'm like a cunt and I'm really sorry.
Do you remember when the Housewives franchise, but Desperate Housewives, the television show?
Oh my God, you don't even have to make the discrepancy. Like, I am a Desperate Housewives historian.
So am I.
Who do you identify with as?
Well,
it's easy to say Brie with the red hair.
That's what I was going to say, but I don't identify with her.
Yeah. You're very Gabby.
I really was going to say Gabby. I just like didn't want to seem like a twat.
No.
Gabby evolves a lot in the show.
Yes. Like she gets severely humbled.
No, I would like to say that like I'm someone that has body dysmorphia. I think she's hotter than she is and is humbled often. And
but Gabby, you are that hot. Like that's a thing.
Thanks. But I just like I relate to her. I think Susan is so fucking stupid. She's so stupid.
I could literally write a 30-page dissertation on how I think Susan is a dumb fucking bitch.
She's so dumb.
And that's the thing with certain shows. Jackie and I talk about this a lot. Is like you watch them and then maybe you rewatch them when you get older. And I have recently rewatched Desperate Housewives.
I did too. I watched it when it was coming on every week.
Me too.
With my mom, she should not have let me watch it.
No, by the way, it was so inappropriate. But like we literally all used to get in Olivia's bed and watch.
Same.
On Sunday nights.
Same.
And then Brothers and Sisters was on afterwards.
I didn't watch that. But watched Desperate Housewives and like decided to rewatch it a couple years ago as an adult. And I was like, oh my, I really fell in love with it. Reassessed it. Call my mom. My mom rewatched it with me. I just loved it. But Brie, Miss Vandekamp, I'm pretty sure I don't think I'm getting this wrong. She had cancer.
Yes, she had anal cancer. Yes.
And I like really respected
Marsha Cross is her name.
Yeah, Marsha Cross. She came out and she said like, what I'm not gonna like, I'm gonna be embarrassed that the cancer that I have decided to choose my anus. Like,
yeah.
No. Like, I forget the quote she used. It was way more dignified. It was very like Brie Vandekamp.
Yeah.
And it was like very like, I was like, damn, you're right. Like, God hope I don't. But like, if I have ass cancer, I want just as much sympathy for ass cancer.
No, I remember that too. She was super brave and open about it. And yeah. You're 100% right. And like, now I'm just like feeling worse and worse about what I said at the beginning of the show.
No, it was clickbait. You don't know.
Also, just back to Desperate Housewives. So I feel like when we watch a show, like Susan was kind of like the main character. Like,
yeah.
Even though they're all four of them were, like, she was really the star.
Totally.
And she fucking sucked. And like, I liked her when I was watching the show originally. And then when I rewatched it, I was like, oh my God, she's literally the fucking worst. That also, I had the same experience with Carrie Bradshaw. Like, she's the worst.
Okay.
I want to say justice for Lynette. I think I'm a Lynette.
Lynette, oh my God. And she just like, what a tortured soul. What so many
She
bad
had such things. A hard life.
I know.
Remember like at the end when like Tom like leaves her?
Yes.
That was tough. I've chills.
Literally.
I will never forget. I was on a flight and like when I was rewatching Desperate Housewives, I was talking about it on the toast and like a lot of the toasters then started to watch it along with me.
It's so good.
And when I got to the part where Tom, I don't know if he has an affair. Yeah, he has an affair. And then he moves in with her.
Yeah.
And like leaves Lynette. Ugh. Somebody started a thread in one of our Facebook groups just like talking about Tom Scavo and literally like it was the funniest thing ever because he was like the hottest husband.
Oh yeah, he was because he was with the kids.
Yeah, and like everyone loved him, but like as a husband, he was a moron. Remember, like he opened that pizzeria. Like he was always making bad business decisions.
So stupid.
He wouldn't let Lynette go back to work. Like he was the fucking worst misogynist. But then, right after my renaissance with Desperate Housewives, I had like the craziest, sexiest dream about Carlos.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like they were always giving dreams about him. They were always like. In the show, making dreams
about
Carlos.
Yeah. And now, like, the dream just kind of, like, changed the way I saw Carlos. And, like, now I'm obsessed with him.
I always thought Carlos was hot.
Yeah.
Because there's something about, like, a man that just, like goes to jail for, like, fucking someone up. Like, 100%. I don't know. Like, that's kind of hot.
100%.
And then, why can I the whole time I've been trying to think of her name. What the fuck? Not Phoebe. The blonde
character?
That dies
Edie,
in the fire.
Edie.
That bitch. Her shit was always crazy.
Oh, and do you know why we're always talking about, you're gonna love this. Do you know why we're always talking about Desperate Housewives on the Toast?
Why?
Because there's an actor. Do you remember the guy who played Dave? He had like platinum white hair, piercing blue
eyes.
Yeah,
yeah, so scary.
He was like a random character, and I think he was like a killer.
Yeah, he also said he definitely killed
He married
people.
Edie.
In real life?
No.
Oh,
on
yeah.
The show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He is like an actor who he will not kiss another actress as a part of his job. He won't like do intimacy scenes. He will not kiss an actor. And like,
is he Mormon?
I don't know what his reasons are. I think it's just because he loves his wife.
He's
which is like
be Mormon.
Sweet, but like really fucking stupid. And we're always talking about him.
That's interesting. You know what though? He gives off the vibe that he would be like, no, like he has all these like rules and like lists and things. Like he freaks me the fuck out personally.
Yeah.
I don't like him. I agree. I don't like him.
The show is perfection. And did you ever watch?
So good.
The guy who created it is named Mark Cherry, and he just started another show. It's something about murder. Can you look it up? It was like Olivia's, like, Women Who Kill, something like that. Mark Cherry, like, Women Kill. Why Women Kill. It really is nothing like Desperate Housewives, but it's incredibly good. The first season is so good. The second season was, like, fine. The first season was really good.
Okay.
He's, like, obvious. He's just, like, a genius. He has, like, a magical touch.
Yes.
We need to bring back Desperate Housewives.
God, I'll rewatch it. Like, it
I know. This so is good. Making me want to rewatch it.
It is
for
so good.
Our fifth and final story, we have some parenting news from Kourtney Kardashian, because she reveals the response to her son Mason asking for McDonald's french fries after going a year without them.
Okay.
So she's obviously doing a lot of press for Lemmy. She was doing the Wall Street Journal magazine interview. So she shared an example of a recent incident that took place when she was enjoying one-on-one time with Mason. And she's been so mindful recently about clean eating. So he said, "Mom, I need McDonald's french fries today. Please, it's been a year since I've had it." She was like, "Today's not the day. Sorry." Okay. Yikes.
Okay, wait, that's the end of the story?
Yeah, that's literally what she's sharing, like, setting boundaries. And, like, I totally believe in, like, you know, having your kids be clean eating and wanting them to eat healthy. I grew up in an extremely healthy household. And look at me now. So maybe I should have just been able to eat McDonald's french fries when I wanted to.
Oh, my God. I grew up, eating the craziest shit in South Carolina. Like,
bad or good?
Bad.
See?
Oh,
like,
my God.
And look at us both. Like, you would think, no, seriously, like, you would think Shannon grew up in the healthy house and
no,
I didn't.
No. I look back and, like, I this is absolutely no shade towards my mother at all, but, like, I look back and I'm like, I cannot believe that those were, like, we were just, like, yoking cosmic brownies as, like, a breakfast.
Yeah. Like, no, I was not. Like, I was having, like, full-blown, like, scrambled eggs.
That's so nice. I'm sure my parents made great food all the time, but, like, I get where Courtney's coming from. I actually had a friend growing up in middle school and high school who her parents did not let them eat that kind of stuff. So in high school, she found that kind of stuff gross. And I remember thinking, like, at first she was weird, but then being like, that's kind of nice because obviously that shit is addicting. Like,
yeah, but everything's good in moderation. Like, your kid who you love is like, please, can I have these french fries?
And
I
haven't had
them.
No.
He's not asking for meth.
I mean, like, that's the point I was going to make. I'm just like, I just don't see. I see if you grew up not giving it to him, so then they grew up like my friend and she just didn't want it. Sure.
Sure. But good, like, for he's you. Begging.
But he's like, can I have him? I haven't had him in a year.
He probably goes to school and his friends are like, oh my God, I had nuggets last night. They were so good. And he just wants to fit in. And I think, you know, a little toxicity in moderation isn't bad.
I just think your kid's going to go buck wild one
day. When he's 18.
When he can drive or whatever. And what
so
do you,
true.
You want your kid to start hiding fucking McDonald's french fries underneath the bed? Don't worry. They won't actually rot because there's so much preservatives.
That's so true. And by the way, that's literally how kids, like, develop eating disorders. Like,
it is.
Because when they get to be 18 and they're, like, allowed to, like, hoard and binge. Yeah. It's so true. Not that I'm saying that's what's going to happen. And obviously I'm not a parent and everyone parents' decision is right. But, like, my God, the kid is like, please, can I just have a french fry? French fries, like, of all the things you can eat at McDonald's, like, french fries are not the worst.
No. And they're just so fucking good.
No, like, I know we're going to lunch after this and, like, we have, like, fancy reasurations, but, like, should we just go to McDonald's?
I would.
In our gorgeous outfits.
Should.
And vlog it. Oh, you know what? Should we make a vlog after this? Because yeah. I texted Shannon yesterday. Like, every time I see Shannon, like, I want a new purse. What purse are you wearing today? You have fabulous style.
Thank you so much. It's this little Fendi girly pop. Like I said. And I love her.
Like I said. So we're going to go shopping and buy matching purses.
Wait,
and we should definitely vlog it.
She sent me that and I go, I don't know if you're kidding. Because, like, you know, your sense of humor is pretty elevated. And sometimes I, like,
wow, thank you.
I don't know if you're, like, being funny or not. But that is something that I personally, I'm an adult woman who does still enjoy a matching moment with one of my girls.
Of course.
I just really like it. And so.
Yeah. And, like, maybe we'll get, like, maybe
different colors. Or
like,
style.
If you find a bag that you love and I find a bag that I love, like, we'll buy separate bags, but, like, from the same store. Like,
yeah, same brand. Me
same brand.
And my best friend Taylor, the Celine bag. I had a different Celine bag. She had a Celine bag. Like, I just, like, I really like to do that.
Yeah,
so like,
that's
are you
what
kidding?
That's
really
what we're
going to
do today, and I feel really good about the decision.
We'll vlog it.
And also, we're going to get fries.
Okay. Oh, I bought a disposable camera because I'm such a millennial. So
oh my God, you've been hanging out with the Snatchler too much.
Oh my gosh, she does that too. Well, yeah. Everyone does it.
Well, literally, like, we in Turks and Caicos, she was like,
those pictures were so fucking cute though.
They were so disgusting. Like, literally, she sent us, she finally got them developed, and it was just like seven, like, fucking ugly beasts. So I was like, Margo, you cannot post that. Like, I thought film was supposed to be, like, really flattering.
Forgiving.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, mine's black and white.
Oh, that's cool.
I think so too. We'll see.
Okay, we'll take some pics.
There's
lunch.
A place in New York that you can get them developed the same day.
Yes. Did Margaret tell you about it?
No, I texted one of my friends that's actually a photographer, and I was like, I bought this like thing from. She was like, you're sure?
Yeah. Before we dive into our final segment, which is Dear Toasters, Shannon is going to be helping me give you guys advice from today. If you ever want to write in, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. It is brought to you by Pair Eyewear. Your style is constantly evolving, especially if you're friends with Shannon Ford, and it's time that your glasses start keeping up. With Pair Eyewear, changing up your frames is easier than ever. Just snap on a new design to transform your look whenever the mood strikes. One pair, endless possibilities, but who says that glasses have to be boring? So whether your vibe is retro, classic, like if you wear glasses, like it's kind of annoying you have to wear the same glasses every day. But Pair Eyewear is amazing because you get a pair of glasses and then you get these magnetic like add-ons that just add a different color, add a different pattern. So if you're wearing like purple, like Shannon, you could wear purple glasses. If you wanted an all-white coastal grandmother look like me, like you could go for white. They have a huge range of iconic basic shapes that start at just $60, including your prescription. So you then choose from the hundreds of matching magnetic tops that make it easy to switch up your look. And you could rock the same design all day long, change it up every hour. There's no wrong way to pair. Get glasses as ever-changing as you are with Pair. Go to paireyewear.com/toast for 15% off your first purchase. That's 15% off at paireyewear.com/toast.
I have those, and they actually come with a really cool case, too, where your glasses go in the case, and then they have this little like flap that holds the little snap-ons. And
so it's, that like, is cool.
Really nice, because you never lose them.
Look at you.
I know. I like Pair.
Are you ready to help save some lives?
Yes.
Okay. First up, hey guys, love you. Well, this was going to Jackie, but I'm sure she would say love you and love the show.
I love you, Jackie, too.
My husband and I dated all through college and we got married right after graduation. We've been married for over a year and it's been going great until recently. I haven't had any sex drive or attractiveness towards him. Everything he does just annoys the fucking shit out of me. And I just want to be left alone when I'm around him, which is horrible because he's a total pijam and he does everything for me. Recently, when going out with friends, I've noticed men talking to me a lot and I feel the urge to flirt and talk back because it actually gets me excited rather than when I'm with my husband. I'm just annoyed with him. It leads me to wonder if I got married too young and missed opportunities. I know this is 100% a me problem, but how do I fix it? Sincerely, a confused toaster who could never break someone's heart.
Aww.
Well, the thing is, I was going to say, like, you know, a lot of things can be going on in your life, like, or health-wise or stress that, like, make your libido go down.
Yeah, birth control.
But if you're going out and, like, vibing with others, I don't think that's the case.
I agree. Yeah, that's what changed my mind on the advice, too.
I do think you owe it to this man to, like, try and make it work, whether that's, like, go to, like, do, like, a Kama Sutra class. Like, when you've been with someone for a long time, like, it's easy to get into a rut, and then, like, you start seeing them more as, like, a brother than a husband.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, make a conscious effort to, like, keep it exciting.
You could literally, there are so many avenues. You could literally go see a sex therapist. You could say, like, if this guy really is such a peach, like, then you can say, like, I love you so much. I want to, like, make our lives a little bit more exciting. I thought maybe we could go see a sex therapist. No guy's going to hear the word sex and not want more of it.
Right.
So, like,
it's like that scene in Sex and the City when Charlotte and Trey, like, can't really, you know, up. And she goes to that Kama Sutra woman who shows you how to give the best fellatio of your life.
Yeah.
No, not fellatio. Is fellatio blowjob? No, yeah, fellatio, and then that's cunnilingus.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then Miranda accidentally gets jizz in her hair.
Yes.
So you have to give it a shot before you can't just, like, you know, throw your hands up because it's a marriage.
Yeah, and listen, I'm just like, I just really so deeply and passionately, like, I know divorce happens, but, like, I'm not married yet and I just really, really, really don't want to get divorced. Mm-hmm. I know anyone that gets divorced doesn't want to get divorced.
Yeah.
But I say it's a really big step. Getting divorced is like a big, big, big deal. So two things can exist.
But your parents are still together, right?
My parents are still together.
So it's like a very, you know, like naive take. It's like as a child of divorce, like, yeah, whatever. People get divorced, life goes on.
Totally, totally. And but what I'm saying is, like, two things can exist at one time. You could be really fucking annoyed at your husband, but still love him. So, like,
that's so true.
Don't beat yourself up too much for, like, just going through something right now. Like, maybe try to dissect and, like, look inward a little bit. What's going on in your life? What are you taking? Any new,
medication? Yeah.
All that kind of stuff, like, plays a part. Don't just, like, give up so easy, though. I think,
by the way, that's, like, really good advice. Like, two things can be true at once. Like, you're not, that's the thing with marriage. It's like, not every minute, every night is going to be whirlwind romance, multiple orgasms. Like, life, it's hard. And, like, that's what a marriage is. It's more of a partnership than, like, a whirlwind. Like, romance novels and movies don't prepare us for what marriage really is.
Well, and you just got to, like, wake up and decide to, like, fight for it. You know
what I mean?
To work for it.
So true. So that's not to say that this might not be working out, but you have to give it, like, a really fair shot.
Oh, and the last thing I'll say is it's not fair to him if you don't tell him this stuff because he has no idea. So, like, he might be doing, he might go take a class, what's it called?
Kama Sutra class.
Yeah. If he knew you were feeling this way, like, it's almost a little unfair to him that you're not letting on that anything's wrong. And so he's not doing anything to fix it. He might want to fix it.
Yeah. Like, maybe he, like, is, like, reading books behind your back. Like, maybe he's trying to help. Like, help him help you.
Yeah.
All right, next up. Hello, Shannon and Claudia. Am I being insecure? No, sorry, she said, am I being an insecure wench? I appreciate your candid advice, and I need you to both weigh in. My boyfriend of 3.5 years started to masturbate and watch porn literally every morning during work. We work from home. His office is upstairs, and I've walked in on him at least 8+ times. At first, I felt awkward and said something like, "Do you need any help?" He just laughs it off and says no. When I first talk to him about it, he says it's due to his stressful job, that it's a way for him to relieve stress throughout the day. Well, I'm a Google girly, so I took to the internet, and sure enough, there's a ton of research about how masturbation is good for stress relief. I brought it up again yesterday. I brought it up again recently because I'm starting to feel insecure. We definitely have not been having sex very often as he seems very disinterested, yet he'll masturbate and watch porn. Is this something every boyfriend does? If I'm just being insecure, or am I valid in feeling compared to these women he's watching online? He does not have an Instagram. I know he isn't on OnlyFans, but I still feel hurt. Any thoughts and insight would be so appreciated. A possible insecure wench. No, you're doing nothing wrong.
I have such a take on this.
If he's masturbating a lot, like, that's fine because it is like a stress relief thing. But if that's taking away from your sex, then there's a problem. And it seems like he might
have a problem.
A porn addiction problem.
And here's what I actually have such like,
you were just talking about this on your Instagram.
On my Instagram story. Yes. Okay. So since meeting James, I don't know like what brought this up when we just had like really deep conversations really early on. And I used to be the girl. So I so feel for you at the end of that where you're like, am I just being insecure? Like, cause I was the girl that wanted to be so cool. Like, oh no, I would tell people like, I don't care if my boyfriend watches porn. I'll watch with him. Like, no, I wouldn't. He would be watching it behind my back behind closed doors. Like, I was never doing that with him. That would be sexy. We weren't doing that.
Right,
and so
right.
He was like, I just always was like, no, it's fine. I'm not insecure. He can watch. I don't care. Like, I did care. Obviously, it's not weird to care that your boyfriend is enjoying watching other naked women have intercourse. Like, that is obviously not a vibe.
It's like a boundary if you feel that way. But there are some girls who truly don't care. And good for you.
That is also fine. That's what I'm saying. I really, for a while there, and if I found out my boyfriend watched porn, I wouldn't like be like, oh, he's cheating on me. There's some people who take it that far, and that's also their right to have that opinion. But James has actually like, plug in for a second. He has a whole podcast where he talks about how your dopamine receptors are so affected by porn.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. You took to Google and you saw that masturbating is a stress reliever. And maybe sometimes he's like, I don't have time to like have sex and give you what you need. So I shouldn't masturbate. But I would say that he should close his eyes and use his imagination and masturbate because it is a healthy thing to do. I don't think he should be watching other women or like, I don't know, maybe you can be like fun and sexy and be like, it makes me a little upset that, well, no, like it makes me a little upset that you're watching other people have sex to get off. If you just need to masturbate really quick, like, can we record ours? Like, can you record me giving you,
that's good advice.
Can you record us and can you watch us?
But the thing is that I don't think this guy,
he's distorting his reality.
No, I think he's also like somewhat addicted to the porn more so than the masturbation. Porn addiction is like totally a real thing. I fell into like a rabbit hole on TikTok on it. A lot of people like accidentally, you know, stumble on porn when they're like 12 years old on the internet 100%. And spend like 10 years watching.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what it kind of sounds like. It's so accessible.
It's so accessible. And here's the thing too. Like he really is watching so much porn that his perception of real life sex is probably why y'all aren't having as much sex. His perception of sex. And I'm like stealing all of this from James' podcast because literally
but that's such a good point.
It just distorts his reality. And you're watching these like, excuse my French, but these like perfect pussies and like,
and
all these things.
And by the way, like sex isn't like that because that's literally like perfect lighting, makeup.
Everything.
No one's actually coming. Like it's literally fraudulent.
Yeah. So I just think like it's definitely something I think you should bring up. And to make you feel better, I dated someone when I first moved to Nashville for 1.5 years that was absolutely addicted to porn. And he absolutely couldn't like get it up whenever we were having sex.
Wow.
And he would apologize to me and say like, I'm sorry. Like I like masturbated earlier and watched porn. And I was just so trying to be the cool girl that I was like, it's okay, babe. We'll just do it another time.
Yeah.
Looking back now, I wish I would have just had like a really calm, don't
conversation.
Be accusatory. Don't be mean. Don't be like, you're addicted to porn. I would just like have a conversation and maybe offer like, can you record us having sex and like,
by the way, that's like such a good idea. You're giving such good advice. Let's see if you can go 3 for 3.
Okay.
This one is probably more my wheelhouse though.
Okay.
Hi, Claudia and Jackie. Oh, sorry. Hi, Claudia and Shannon. Making this short and sweet. But how do I tell my fiance's brother's girlfriend, a dear friend of mine, that she is butchering her already beautiful, perfect face with Facetune? Mm. Every picture she posts, she edits the absolute shit out of her face, hair, body, etc. And it's getting out of control. I mean, everyone uses a little Facetune, but she's going over the top.
Okay.
We just recently went on my bachelorette party and she edited every picture of us. Not me, just her.
Okay.
She edits herself to the point where if you saw her in a photo and in real life, you wouldn't think it was the same person. Do I say anything or just let her live? She's much younger than me, so I'd like to give her some advice, but I also don't want to offend her since I really do love our friendship. And she's not hurting anyone, so is it even worth saying anything? Just curious to hear your thoughts. Sincerely, a toaster that's Facetune subscription just expired. All right, I'm very pro Facetune. You will pretty much like never see a photo of me on the internet that was taken on an iPhone that hasn't been...
I love a tweak.
Nipped, tucked, the whole thing. I love a tweak. Professional photos, like a Getty image, I don't do because like that's like embarrassing. However, I have honed the skill over the years. Like you might not know which pictures, but there was a time like on my time hop, I will see a photo that was like there's
we've all been there.
There's literally like a person behind me whose leg got cut off because it was in my way. So it's something you definitely learn over time. And I imagine if somebody had told me back then, like, Claudia, you literally, like, it's so obvious, I would have been grateful for the tip. Yeah. But it's all about delivery.
It's all about the delivery. And I, we had a friend in my friend group who was doing it a lot. And we did end up telling her, this is your, here's the thing. Here's why it's embarrassing that your fiance's brother's
girlfriend
is doing it. It's embarrassing because everyone knows what it looks like. We are all evolved enough now that you can spot a Facetune in 2 seconds. Back then when we were like botching
nobody knew.
Maybe not everyone realized it. Like now it's so obvious that it's almost like criminal if you don't tell her and help her out.
So but true.
Delivery is everything. I sometimes take the approach of like making it a joke, like hee hee ha ha, like oh girl. Like make it like almost kind of like funny in a joke, but like everyone knows behind every joke there's some seriousness behind it.
Right, and she's younger than you, so she's like already like probably impressed. Like you need to be really soft.
But I do think you should say something. And you were already so nice in your delivery with the question. You were like, she's gorgeous.
You like, seem like a nice girl.
I think you could pull up a photo that you have of her that has not been edited and say like, I was just looking at this photo. I was thinking how gorgeous you looked. Like you're so pretty. I know sometimes like you like tweak your photos with
an app. And be like, that's fine. I do it too. Like sometimes, you know, pimples or.
Yeah. And say, yeah, I do it too. Cause like, I think we all like, everyone of course there's gonna be someone listening. Yeah. I don't touch any of my shit. Well, like I do.
Yeah, so I do. No shame.
I just make myself look like I looked when I walked out the door. By the end of the night, when you're taking photos, sometimes you don't look like when you walked out of the door. So,
you know, when I'm editing, like I make myself look how I looked when I walked out the door 5 years ago, 20 pounds ago. Like just know, like you've never seen a picture of me not edited, but I also do this podcast and I can't edit the podcast, so if you really want to know what I look like, check out the podcast. Like
whatever, it's right fucking here.
Like, I don't care, like that's how I live with peace in my heart, so if that bothers you, feel free to unfollow me, but like I'm protecting my heart.
Yeah, and you're allowed to do that, and I think she is allowed to do that too. But if it's like if it's embarrassing,
no, of course, like you want to protect her.
She is gonna regret it in 5 years when she looks back.
But you know what, that's also just a part of growing up. Sometimes people need to make their own mistakes and learn the hard way,
and she will learn the hard way by having her boyfriend's fiance's brother's
girlfriend.
I cannot keep up with this.
Fiance her, brother's girlfriend.
Because my friend, brothers. When we told her, you could tell she was a little embarrassed, but like she literally stopped. And then from this point forward, she would send us photos and be like,
and ask for help.
Is this too much? And we'd be like, no, you tweak that one good, or someone would be like, your arm's fucked in that one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She would
but
just
then
ask.
It's helpful. You have like a sounding board. I do that with my sisters. I'm like, is this too tuned?
I send that all the time. I say, did I edit this too much? And they're like, no, it's good.
Yeah.
Or my eye white's too bright.
When you're looking at a photo for so long, adding filters, face tuning, you become like.
You go blind to it.
Yeah. Exactly. And sometimes it takes a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah. 100%.
So just, this is totally a fine thing to say. Come at it from like a really kind of maternal, nice way.
You already sound like you are, though.
So yeah,
you're
I'm not worried.
You're going to crush it.
And that was Dear Toasters. If you guys want to write in for next Wednesday, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. Shannon's new podcast is available anywhere you can get your podcast. It's called Probably a Podcast. It is on Toast News Network. If you want to just go click the link in our bio or click the link in Shannon's bio. New episodes are dropping every Tuesday. You can also watch them.
You can.
A lot of our TNN shows don't have videos, but you do. It's super premium. We have an episode together. If you guys
never saw it,
check it out. You also have great interviews with like Hannah Burner, all the girlies.
Yeah, all the girlies.
It's really good.
I'm probably biased, but it's fucking great.
And you're probably Shannon Ford on Instagram.
Probably Shannon Ford on Instagram, TikTok, all the.
Thank you so much for doing this last minute.
Yay!
And I'm so excited for our lunch
Let's
vlog.
Let's get in our bags.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iRadio, Cast, Possible, places where you listen to podcasts, find us Morning Toast, if you're faster, every bit of a beautiful Sunday, it's where we are. Hope you guys have an amazing hump day. There is no show tomorrow. I am taking a personal day. So, and Jackie's still sick. So there's no show tomorrow, but hopefully Jackie will be back on Friday. If not, I'll make Ben come or Margo. There'll be a show Friday, not tomorrow. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Love you.